Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
I believe it's Thursday, so we're calling this the Thursday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, the blogs go up over there on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so if you didn't catch up on what happened over there yesterday, get yourself on Rob is right there at the top for you. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link. Get yourself over to the Sports Time Facebook page. And you know that you're going all the way over there. You might as well go ahead and watch it. Don't forget, we also have the Twitter, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well, at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is
Dan Z-Man with three E's.
All right, Dan, there were a ton of Cubs fans out there who were extremely concerned that Theo Epstein may not, you know, be able to find himself a new job. Well, we no longer have to worry about that, as it was announced today that Major League Baseball has hired him as a consultant to on-field matters. So that's obviously quite a wide open area, obviously. But you know, one of the things I saw is that he's going to look at analytics here. Analytics. They call him an analytics expert to determine the effect of potential rule changes to help the sport overall, is how it's worded. So I am dying to know what you think of this fiasco.
First thing I thought of was, we don't want to hire Billy Beane's company, so we better go after and get the guy that might most likely land there. So, I think it's good for, well, I don't really know, to be honest with you, but I think one of the reasons that he was picked for this job was to maybe validate some of Manfred's theories and what he was trying to do.
Yeah, you know, in all honesty, he ain't going to do anything, but, you know, bottom line. You know, they do say he'll be under the supervision of the commissioner and the owner's competition committee. I think you're right, and he's here to validate seven-inning doubleheaders and putting a runner on second base in extra innings. He's there for all the garbage stuff that the real fans don't like, but the media loves. Because, you know, the games don't take as long and we don't have to stay at the park to watch the end of it. It's over. So that's all he's here for. He's basically just going to – he's picking up a paycheck to be a glorified yes man. And, you know, I'm sure he'll do this for a couple of years. Some team will be to hire him and he'll try to rebuild again and it won't work. And he'll be a complete failure and we won't have to deal with him anymore. So – that'll be just fine with me.
Yeah, I wasn't as negative about that as maybe you are. But no, I think it was, well, I mean, I guess let me say, I think, and I made me forget where I was going with it. Thanks.
Where were you going?
Theo doing this job. Well, like you said, I think he'll be in it for a little while. He'll get out of it. Oh, but that was the point I was trying to make was, you know, by appointing him at this position, whatever, putting him in this I keep getting distracted. Putting him in this position, he doesn't really have to do anything. He's going to hire all the analytic people that run the data, create the models, this, that, and whatever. They're going to present it to him, and he's going to say, hey, Rob, this is what we got.
Yeah.
And good for him. Good for him. So, but like you said, I don't think he'll be in this office, this role for that long. And I think you're right. He quite possibly might get another GM role, but he did express the interest in owning a team. So, I mean, I don't know how he gets to that point. I really never looked at his finances, but even if he wanted to get in a group, for a guy like him, he's entering a whole other world that he's not longer the big shot in. And I don't know if he'd have the accumulation, be able to raise enough money to hold a majority stock in the team. So maybe this is what he's got to do. He's got to play the game for the MLB to, maybe make those connections and get those people together and somehow be a face of that. And then also for Major League Baseball not to lose Theo to Billy Beane's offshore company, consulting company. Because that's essentially what Theo will be doing, is consulting.
This is a good way for him to move Major League Baseball if he does become part of an ownership. Because you mentioned that is something he said on his way out the door here after he put the Cubs in an impossible situation and walked out. It's corporate. You know how corporate is. You got to kiss a lot with your end. And basically what he's doing now, he's taking this job in the commissioner's office. So when they see his name on an ownership form, oh, okay, we worked with this guy, blah, 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 2 years ago, 3 years ago. He's a good dude. Let's make sure these guys get a team, instead of somebody else who may be a better owner. So that, that's a lot of what this is. But like you said, he's not doing any of the actual legwork. It's going to be a bunch of, interns or underpaid, MIT graduates who couldn't get jobs elsewhere that are going to lay out the analytics of the game. Cause it ain't Theo hitting the keys on the computer. And then he'll go, yeah, Rob, it was a great idea to have 7-inning doubleheaders. Look at this. And oh yeah, look how great the putting a runner on second is working out for us. This was one of the best ideas you ever had. And that's all it's going to be. So, like I said, on the plus side, we probably won't hear about him much. And, that's a good thing because he's a complete washout as an executive now, especially with the way the Cubs turned out. At least he managed to win 2 world titles with the Red Sox. He couldn't do jack shit with the Cubs. So,
He wasn't there for the third one, but that was his team that was on the field in 2013.
Yeah. Yeah, he had a big hand in that one, even though he wasn't there. But, officially he's got 3-2 with the Red Sox, 1 with the Cubs. And, like I always say, the majority of the Cubs fans are always going to love him because he got him that World Series title. But you know how I feel about it. My problem is he only got them 1 World Series title with a great team. That team should have been a dynasty among they should still be competing with the Dodgers every year to figure out who's going to the World Series in the National League. Now it's a clown show and they're barely a 500 team as it is because he didn't have the stones to trade his guys when he needed to make the moves. He was too in love with the Kyle Schwarbers and the Addison Russells and, the Ian Hops and those guys who could have brought him some value back and fixed the team. you know, he was, you know, he was too busy living in the praise of how great he drafted and, you know, the way these guys turned out instead of fixing the team. And, you know, now they're a joke, you know, in baseball. I mean, there's nobody taking them seriously. So, you know, it's, you know, and they'll blame it on Jed because he's here now, but he's cleaning up Theo's mess. You know, and I mean, you've pointed out over and over that wherever he goes next time, he can't fix it like he did. You know, and it may be his own team. You know, it may be the Derek Jeter deal where he's part of the ownership group and then comes in as president and, you know, and tries to run the team that way. But it ain't going to work out. I got bad news for whatever team he ends up with. Maybe they'll give him an expansion franchise and he can be the president of the new Montreal Expos. And then when they suck, they can't completely blame it on him.
Oh, man, you're bitter.
You know, I can't help it. I look at the pieces they had, and it pisses me off that they only won one.
Yeah, no, I get you. So, and I don't know how this works, but let's just go with normal player type deals. And I don't know, 5, 10 years, pick a number. What does it matter, really? It's hypothetical. He's on the ballot. And you take out all that. I mean, he still gets in.
Oh, yeah. He, you know, the first time the writers see his name on the ballot with Boston and Chicago behind him, he's in automatically. There's no question about that. You know, I mean, there's people out there who think he's the greatest baseball executive of all time. I mean, they're wrong and they're probably incredibly stupid, but, you know, that's he turned around two franchises that hadn't won. And that's, you know, that's always going to put him down in history. But as a Cub, he's a failure to me. He was successful in Boston, but he's a failure here for only getting them to win one World Series title. Because you got to remember, they never contended again. There's no return trip to the World Series. And, you know, there are some embarrassing losses, just starting with last year being swept by the Marlins in the first round. They couldn't even win a game in a 3-game series against the Miami Marlins. What's that tell you?
Tells you that Kyle Schwarber's in Washington.
You know, and Wilson Contreras is going to be traded as soon as they get the right deal. You know, but I mean, you know, go back and you start looking at it. I mean, there was the failure against Colorado in game 163. So they didn't even get in this year. They're in an incredibly weak division. You know, nobody can compete with them money-wise. The Cardinals can't. The Brewers can't. The Pirates won't. The Reds tried, and now they're dismantling it. They should dominate and win that division every year, the way the Dodgers do now and the way the Yankees used to. And for whatever reason, through the years, they've refused to do it. And we live in, what, the second or third biggest city in America? Or they play in the second or third biggest city in America. You think they don't have the money? Multiple millions of fans go to their games every year. Even when they sucked, they drew millions of people. Didn't spend the money.
So whoever
on the team made a boatload of cash. So,
yeah.
You know, and that's what the Ricketts are going to do this year once we get fans back in. You know, it'll sell out almost every game. The team will stink. But it won't matter because the Ricketts will be putting that money in their pockets.
Yeah. A reiteration
or
of Sam Bell and WGN.
Right. Or giving it to the next Republican candidate, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, and kind of bouncing for 1 second back to Theo, you know, I didn't even think about the fact that, you know, you have to get approved to even own, you know, be. have an option to own a team. So, again, a good move on his part. He's got to get in that position to know everybody.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, and that's, get everyone
that's
to like him.
That's why they never sold to Mark Cuban, because the other owners didn't like him and knew he would come in and just spend money.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, you mentioned Cubs second largest mark, second, third, whatever. Not spending the money and kind of going the opposite way of what you would expect. But then you've got the other side of town. What is it? Technically 9 miles between the two stadiums or whatever it is. 9 miles in an hour and a half. But
yeah.
they don't draw. It's not a secret. It's by design, so the owner doesn't have to pay the lease on the stadium, whatever. And they go out, spend $54 million on a closer. So you're sitting there just kind of scratching your head going, you know, they're coming up with the money to finance a player. And, you know, I don't know if – obviously I don't think it's by design, but, you know, the White Sox are in a position to – maybe, I don't say they'd steal fan base, but, you know, with the issues with the marquee network and the Cubs, the Sox look like the better team, you know, and a familiar voice, Big Jack. Can you make that even any more better for the White Sox? You'll have a familiar voice that you're used to. Whether or not you like the Sox, you turn on that radio and you just happen to be on WGN because, you know, your brain goes back to WGN for the Cubs, and it's 3 o'clock on a Saturday, and you hear Len Casper's voice. Not my team, but I recognize his voice. So, I mean, White Sox are making all the right moves, and they're more like a small market team.
You know, if they win, you know, people will start to show up. Remember, you know, it probably wouldn't be till, you know, the end of the season, like it was when they did win the World Series. You know, and that's the odd thing, is the White Sox have to win to attract fans. The Cubs just have to open the doors.
Yeah.
you know, and I get it. A lot of the attraction is the ballpark. You want to say, hey, I went to Wrigley Field. You know, and you've mentioned multiple times how there's absolutely nothing to do, you know, around good old G-rate Field. You know, you go to the game, you go home. You know, Wrigley, if you're a 20-something or a 30-something, you go to the game and then you hang out all night in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just the atmosphere is completely different, and, you know, it just kind of works out that way. But, yeah, it's unbelievable that the parks are that close, but it's literally like being in two different worlds.
Oh, yeah.
So,
but again, I think part of that is by design of the owner. You know, I forget when that lease is up, or that contract or agreement, whatever, with the state of Illinois. I don't know. I think it was with the state of Illinois. That's where he got the money from to finance everything. So, you know, if you don't hit 3 million fans, you don't have to pay the lease. So it'll be interesting at the end of this decade how things will change for that team. But, you know, like you said, there's that huge disparity in the fan base. While the White Sox may pack stadiums in August, September, the Cubs are doing it from April through September. You know, and the White Sox are finding a way to, like I said, make all the right moves right now. Hats off to them.
Yeah. I mean, they look like, you know, the team to beat in the Central now. You know, Detroit isn't quite there with their rebuild. You know, Cleveland wants to get rid of guys. They don't want to keep guys. So, you know, it's, you know, the Twins are obviously going to be competition. But, yeah, it's a two-team race. And, you know, if Lance Lynn comes through for them, you know, that rounds out that rotation. And if Hendrick can close, they're in a really, really good spot. So, you know, I'm not sure if they could get over the hump to the World Series, but, you know, once you're in, and who the hell knows? So, you know, we'll have to see. But, you know, a few more, you know, news here, Dan. It looks like the, you know, the Phillies, one of the things everybody complained about last year was their bullpen stunk. Well, it looks like they're going to make another addition. You know, they've already added Sam Conrad. I believe it's Conrad because there's two O's in it. And Jose Alvarado to the bullpen. Now the reports are that they're going to sign Archie Bradley to a free agent deal. So they're, you know, they're bringing in, you know, he'll be the third very solid reliever. And what'll be interesting is if they'll slot him in as the closer ahead of Hector Neris, because, you know, Neris has had his issues here and there. You know, I mean, his ERA was over 4.5 last year, and, you know, he runs kind of hot and cold a la, you'll remember, Carlos Marmol. You know, and then, you know, their other guy, Sir Anthony Dominguez, probably won't pitch this year because he had Tommy John. Maybe he'll be back later in the year, but I wouldn't really expect it. So I like this move, Dan. And then there's also reports that they're interested in bringing Freddie Galvis back, and that they're also the front runner to re-sign JT Realmuto. So maybe the Mets moves kind of got woke the Phillies up, and they realized they had to do something. you like these?
Yeah, I like them. I mean, I think for the fans, it's got to be a little bit excited to have Galvis back, just, you know, the time he spent there. You know, and if they're able to land Realmuto, that would be a nice little addition for them.
Well, you know the one move they have to make, Dan, don't you? What is it?
We got to trade for Chris Bryant.
There you go. You got it. They need to trade for Chris Bryant and reunite him with Bryce Harper. That's the only thing the Phillies are missing, is bringing Chris Bryant in and, you know, working that out. But,
well,
that's an interesting division.
Yeah, and I don't know if you're able to kind of pick it up a little bit quickly, but seeing what Yu Darvish went for in Caratini, do the Phillies have any outside of their top 10 that they'd be willing to part with or might be worth coming to Chicago?
Yeah, you know,
my
I'm sure there. Yeah, I'm sure there's plenty of guys, you know, they would be willing to throw into a Chris Bryant deal. Here, I'll throw three names at you, Dan. They have three middle infielders. Kendall Simmons is their 12th-ranked prospect. Jamari Baylor is their 13th. And Nick Matone is their 15th. I'm sure they'd be willing to part with two of those guys to bring Chris Bryant in, wouldn't they?
Yeah. And I hate to make that joke, but, I mean, it's kind of true, isn't it? That it was almost like a fire sale.
You know, and here to work it out even better, Dan, Simmons and Baylor are both 20. So they wouldn't be in the majors for 3 or 4 years like all the guys they got from the Padres.
And then you see another rebuild after they're gone. What if the Phillies don't land Realmuto, and do you think they'd have enough to take Wilson Contreras and Bryant? Or what do you think you'd have to add
in
another team?
You know, if they were willing to part with some of their top guys, you know, like the one thing that the Phillies have that, you know, the Cubs could desperately use is, you know, they have an outfield prospect. I think he was the number one pick back in 2016. That Mickey Monacki, it might be pronounced. He's ready to go. So, you know, if they would be willing to part with him in a deal, the Cubs need a center fielder. You know, they're pretty desperate right now. You know, he's going to turn 23 here pretty soon. So he would be young enough to live through the rebuild. If they could center something around that with, you know, some of their other lower tier prospects, you know, like the guys we mentioned, and, you know, they have a couple other outfielders that are just inside their top 40. I'm sure Jed would love to get his hands on. You know, it's possible they could do both. I think the problem is they're going to wait on Realmuto as long as possible. So I don't know if the Cubs would sit on Contreras for that long, because sooner or later somebody's going to look at the catcher and go, man, we got to upgrade this like the Angels and say, we got to go get this guy. Dan, put the hookah down. We're doing the podcast. I mean, oh, sorry.
No, I'm sorry. We're driving, and I just watched the lady do, instead of a U-turn, she did a full circle and went back the same way she was coming from.
So, yeah, you know, I mean, they could definitely be one of the teams in the Contreras Derby, you know, if they don't think Realmuto's coming back. So, and the smart thing for them maybe just to get their name out there as a candidate for Contreras, just to maybe get the negotiations moving with Realmuto, you know, and see if, you know, his camp would panic a little bit, you know, if the Phillies are the main, you know, pursuant of him. Yeah, other than that, I don't know who, you know, other than the Phillies, I don't know who else is going to be willing to spend that kind of money on Realmuto, because, you know, the Mets signed their guy. You damn well know the Cardinals aren't paying him. It would be a huge surprise if, you know, St. Louis was the team he signed with. So, yeah, can you think of anybody else?
Not off the top of my head.
So, you know, and I mean, obviously none of the rebuilding teams are going to go and, you know, throw hundreds of millions of dollars at them when they're rebuilding. So, you know,
it would be interesting to see Bryant and Contreras in a Phillies uniform.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be weird enough to see, like, Darvish and Caratini, and, you know, Darvish really wasn't even here that long. So, yeah,
yeah.
Once they jump in other uniforms, that's going to be strange. And especially, like, you know, if it happens to Rizzo, you know, or a Baez or something like that, it's going to be really odd. You know, I mean, how weird is it going to be to see Schwarber when he comes up for the Nationals?
Yeah, pinch hitting.
Yeah.
Bottom of the seventh.
I wonder if he'll catch. Do you think he catches an inning or two for them at some point in time this coming year?
Yeah, I never understood. Well, I mean, I knew why, but I just never understood why he was a catcher, and then you're just like, nah, you're going to be an outfielder.
Because it was really the only other place they had to put him, right? I mean, he wasn't going to take Rizzo's spot. So to get him in the lineup, he had to be a catcher, didn't he? Or an outfielder, I mean.
Well, I meant just coming into the league altogether before we even knew about Wilson Contreras. You know, I mean, we both know why. He was DHing in minor leagues, so he can't really get the experience. I just was wondering why it was, like, brought up that he was a catcher, and then it was like this mini experiment, and then, no, we're just going to do outfield. We're going to put him in a position where, he's probably not going to succeed.
Yeah, well, you know, and the oddest thing is one of the reasons they put him into the outfield was to avoid injuries, and then he ran into Dexter Fowler.
Yeah.
So, you know, and he lost the whole
season. Happen.
What, like 2 games?
Yeah, it wouldn't happen if he was behind the plate, even though I was told I was stupid for saying that.
And I also want you to know that that year he only played 2 games. He was on mine and Mr. Fantasy's Money League team. So just to rub that into myself a little bit. You know, one of those fun things. But, you know, we'll see how, you know, how it shakes out and how it goes. But, you know, Dan, I'm a little disappointed you didn't tell us about your new purchase that you picked up today.
Well, I'll tell you about it in a few minutes when I get back.
Oh, okay. Jeez. So what are we going to do while Dan's gone? I don't know. What else is going on? So, you know, and I know we seem to keep bringing up the Cubs quite a bit, but, there's a lot going on there. And with Theo getting a new job and, you know, the fact that they're dismantling the team, you just kind of wander into that. And, you know, since we live in the area, of course, they're more talked about than, you know, that's what you hear about. I mean, humorously, the Blackhawks opened their season last night and it didn't go very well. They lost 5-1 to the Lightning. But there was more talk about the Bears than there was the Blackhawks actually playing a game and starting their season. So, you know, it's just kind of, you know, I mean, if you look at it, Chicago is probably, it's probably the Bears, then the Cubs are the number two things that sports fans in Chicago talk about, because the Bulls stink and the Blackhawks are kind of in rebuild mode again. You know, they do still have Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews, but Toews was just put on long-term IR today because he has an illness. It doesn't appear to be COVID-19, but he's got something going on that I don't believe has been reported. You know, and then they lost their young goal scorer, that Kirby Dach. He broke a wrist playing for the Canadian World Junior team. So he's out like 3 or 4 months. So it's, you know, it's definitely ugly, you know, with what's going on now, because we got the Bulls who stink and the Blackhawks who aren't going to be very good. So what do you talk about? You talk about the Bears who just got beaten easily in the playoffs, and the Cubs, because, you know, baseball's right around the corner. We're going to be starting in, you know, what, about 4 or 5 weeks. Pitchers and catchers are going to report. So, you know, we'll have to see how it works out. But, you know, that's not, you know, and I know, you know, and we do touch on other kind of, you know, sports. You know, we get into other teams and stuff like that. I mean, obviously we just went through what, you know, what's going on with the Phillies, and, you know, that brings us around. And, you know, we talk about the other divisions, and, you know, obviously Dan is really big on baseball, so we spend a lot of time talking about that. But, you know, I mean, if you got any ideas for us, hey, 646-478-3753, we'll gladly talk to you about what you want to talk about, or else just, you know, send it to us in an email, you know, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com, or tweet it to us @sportstimeradio. You know, I don't have any problem going into any subject, you know, whatever it is, even some of the other sports that, you know, we don't cover much, MMA or boxing. You know, we'll talk NASCAR while it's here, because Dan has to find a new driver. You know, you want to, you know, you could talk about the Masters, where they decided that they're going to limit the number of fans coming up in April. So, you know, whatever's open to you or up to you, or you think that, you know, needs to be discussed or put out there, please, you know, feel free to, you know, throw it out there, and we'll give you our opinion, you know, right, wrong, or indifferent. So we'll see how that works. But, you know, yeah, because other, you know, and, you know, again, and it's not that I'm apologizing for us getting kind of stuck in the Chicago mode. I just want you to understand that it's, you know, where we live, so it's front and center, and we hear a lot about it. So, you know, it's just kind of, you know, what goes on, or, you know, what happens. So, you know, you just gotta kind of bear with us, and hopefully eventually we get to your topic. I mean, you know, and obviously yesterday we spent quite a bit of time talking about, you know, the James Harden deal, and, you know, we'll discuss our fantasy teams and, you know, get into stuff like that. Just to have some fun with it. And I hope there are a lot of, you know, fantasy people out there, you know, and again, I wouldn't follow any of my advice because, well, to be fair, my football team did get to the, did manage to get to the championship. I did get destroyed, but I did get there. So that's a positive. And I did have the best regular season record in that league. But yeah, with, you know, I didn't have Alvin Kamara, and it was a bit of a difficult outing for me. And the guy I played had a fantastic week. So just, you know, unfortunately one of those issues that, you know, I mean, anybody who plays fantasy knows what, you know, that goes on from time to time. So we'll, you know, we'll see, you know, and hopefully I can bounce back next year and have another good year. And you know, unfortunately my basketball team is off to a very mediocre start after a couple weeks. I'm just kind of 500. So, you know, not, you know, I mean, I don't stink, but I'm not great. I was hoping for a better output. I thought I had managed to, you know, put a pretty good team together for what I had, but man, it just, you know, for whatever reason, I haven't had much luck there with the, with that. And then, you know, hockey last year was rough for not only me, but also for Dan. We did not have a very good year, but you know, again, I mean, it's fun to do, and we keep plugging away, and you know, that's also part of the reason why we don't bet money on it. And I've mentioned before, I'll play daily fantasy here or there, and you know, give that a shot. And you know, I mean, luckily I've won more than I've lost, but I'm not gonna bet hundreds of dollars on a game. It's a buck here or $2 there, and you know, that's about it. Like, I've already decided when I lose all the money I have left on FanDuel, I'm done. So I think I have about $45 to play with. We'll have to go.
You have $45 to play with?
On FanDuel, I do. So, you know, I have to see where I want to spend my money. So
I forgot what my new purchase was.
Well, yeah, so speaking of money, why didn't you tell us what you bought today?
I don't know what that was.
Oh, come on. I know this was you. All right, the 1952 Topps number 311 Mickey Mantle in mint condition. Dude, I know you're the guy who paid $5.2 million for it. You can't lie to us.
Don't you just wish you were going through some old boxes and that was just in there and you could sell it for that much?
Yeah, and I came across a 52 manual. Yeah, that would be fantastic. So, you know, so that would really make my day. So, you know, unfortunately, I have not had that happen to me. So, That was the record. That's the highest selling sports card of all time. I believe it beat out the Mike Trout rookie card that somebody paid a boatload for. So
I just didn't realize baseball cards were still a thing, or because I grew up in the era where kind of post, I don't know what you would call it, but I was at second generation, I guess, so to speak, and would know too, the late 80s and 90s. I mean, well, after the mid 80s, it's like they're so easy to get. So whatever I have isn't really valuable because it's just so easily accessible now. The 1990s baseball card sets, I'm like, I see them on Facebook all the time. Like, here, pick them up for $10 at my house. Sealed,
Well, I have a large collection. I mean, you saw it in the closet mm-hmm. when you gave me some of your cards. And unfortunately, very little of it is worth anything. So, looking at some of the, highest priced sports cards, obviously now Mono takes the lead, but it's probably until that Mike Trout card is sold again, or the Honus Wagner card comes up, then they'll probably move back into the lead. There is an interesting card here, Dan. I don't know how you find this one, but there's a Giannis Antetokounmpo card of Panini National Treasure. So I don't even know what kind of set that is, but there's LeBron James is in here. There's some other interesting names, here and there as you go down the list that sell for, pretty good money. There's, how many? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's 5 that sell for over $1 million.
Wow.
1.8 is actually the low there, and there's a couple more that the next time they'll be sold, they'll probably go over $1 million because they're in the $900,000 range. So yeah, if you've got the right card, like you said, it's quite lucrative. And I did hear today somebody said that cards are making a comeback. So maybe they'll be a little more valuable in them.
Yeah, Topps tried, was doing something this year. A couple guys I know are buying some of it, but I just, to me, I feel like towards the mid to late 90s, it just was so oversaturated. I mean, if you remember, I'm sure with you, it was the Bowman, Topps, Flair, Donruss. And then, because that's kind of what I grew up with. And then you hit the mid 90s and, early 90s and then the mid. And, Topps has Topps, Stadium Club Topps, this Topps, this, that Topps, 5 different versions of basically the same guys. For me, I think that's when I kind of lost the interest too. Plus, I was getting older and I didn't see, I wasn't creating cards and making money. Had I been passing out cards and making money off of them, I probably would have stuck to it. But, I think that was part of it. It was just so oversaturated.
Yeah, and that's how it turned out. It was just one of those things where it was kind of like, the market was hot, so everybody got in it. And then when I was actually working at a sports card shop at that time, cards and comics. So, it was just nuts. I mean, there were people in there every day just looking for, whatever, they could get their hands on. So.
Well, and it cracks me up because, the cards I was looking for as a kid in the 90s, even just back then, you know, a dollar up to $5. That was really expensive. You weren't paying more than 50 cents a pack. So, and, you know, it killed me when my old house, we lived near one of the few card stores that's still around. And I brought some old ones and, you know, they weren't that into buying anything, but the guy did look through the stuff I gave him, and, you know, he just basically offered me a credit there. It wasn't worth much. But, you know, cards I was looking for back when I was a kid, like I said, $5, whatever, you know, I just was able to pick up on, you know, 35 cents or, you know, 50 cents a quarter. So I'm like, at that point, you know, this was probably 10 years ago, I was like, oh, I could see this, you know, card it's going nowhere. You know, but apparently it's, like you said, it's making the comeback.
Yeah, the one thing I learned about collecting is, unfortunately, you can't sell them because nobody is going to pay you anywhere close to what it says the value is.
Mm-mm.
So, you know, and that's just kind of unfortunately the way it goes.
Graded, and then it's so expensive to get things graded. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. You know, like we went to a card show once. I think it was McCormick Center. At the time, and you know, I had some pretty nice older cards that, you know, I had doubles of, so we were willing to sell, and they were in mint condition. And it was. No, the offers were just a joke. So, you know, and it was just like, really, why would I waste my time coming here? You know, and it's like, I understood that you weren't going to give me what it was worth. But even so, I want to make some money on this.
Yeah.
And it was, why would I sell this to you? You know, I would be better off putting it up on eBay or something than just waiting for somebody to pay what I was asking.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, that's the difficult part about it is, you know, like, they're nice to have, you know. I mean, you know, when I die, I'll probably will them to your kids and let them deal with them. But, you know, then it'll be somebody else's. You know, you'll have to come move them, and then there'll be somebody else's problem. But, yeah, it's, you know, it's just kind of like, I love having them and I don't want to get rid of them, but even if I did, I'm stuck with them. And
yeah.
Like I have that 52 model or that Mike Trout card or, you know, that Antetokounmpo card or one of these cards that are going in auction. Oh, hell yeah. There's tons of people out there who want them. that would be great. But yeah, and until then.
Well, then, you know, once the internet came around and eBay, like you mentioned, you know, the small market no longer exists, you know. You're able to find the card you want. So, you know, my Ricky Henderson rookie card, I have graded 9, I think, 8 or 9, and nowhere near the dollars that it cost when I was a kid.
Yeah.
That was at my Christmas list every single year.
I have multiples of those, by the way, that I would have been willing to sell for $100.
Yeah.
So, you know, but yeah, it's just kind of how, you know, worked out. I mean, I have spent quite a bit of money buying sports cards. So, we will have to see. Somewhere down, you know, maybe now that it's getting hot, it pays off for me.
You'll have to watch the prices and go look for that card.
Yeah, I'll have to, you know,
good luck.
Yeah, I'm going to have to start going through everything and figure out who's what and what's who and who belongs where. And, you know, hopefully some of them are still in pretty good condition. I mean, they're packed properly, but they're not in, you know, the plastic casing. So they're probably not mint anymore, which is unfortunate for me.
Yeah.
So, but well, you know, we got a few minutes left here. How much hockey did you get to watch last night? Did you watch the only thing I can think of is the unfortunate Blackhawks game last night?
I watched the first period and a long ceremony for the Tampa Bay Lightning. You know, I wish they would have said, hey, the first 30 minutes is going to be the non-banner raising ceremony. And then I would have said, oh, okay.
So, yeah, just, you know, unfortunately, when you get those, you know, it's kind of like, oh, here we go. Yeah, let's, can we move this along any faster, please?
Yeah. Well, so, you know, it was a lot quicker than the Cubs ceremony, which was, to me, over the top and not even in a good way. It was like a bad Saturday Night Live sketch.
So yeah, I watched. I think I turned it off when it was 3-0 because it was time for me to hit the sack and try to get some sleep before work. But yeah, unfortunately, I think it's going to be a rough year, you know, for the Blackhawks. And I did see today they put Jonathan Toews and Kirby Duck on a long-term IR. So they're gonna be gone from the team for a little while. So
do you think Subban had some of the jitters? I mean, this is his first time as the number one goalie. Do you think any of that played into it and he's got to get used to his new surroundings?
Yeah, I think that's possible. You know, plus, you know, and you got to remember they were playing a very good team. You know, they're the defending Stanley Cup champions for a reason. So, you know, that, you know, it just kind of happened that, you know, that way. You know, the only thing that hurt me, Dan, is, you know, the Blackhawks scored, and I have Tampa Bay's goalie on my fantasy team.
I thought you had Vasilevsky.
Yeah, so I was that one goal away from getting a shutout. So. You know, just kind of one of those things. And then I found out today, Dan, that my other goalie, good old Sergei Bobrovsky, went on IR today. So I have to attempt to competently find another goalie.
Well, that was quick.
Yeah, well, you know, I knew he was dinged up, you know, coming in. And it was like, well, okay, you know, no problem. I'll, you know, he'll be injured for a little bit, and then I'll get him back. Not, you know, not a problem. And all of a sudden, he's on IR. I'm like, son of a.
Did you only draft 2?
No, I did draft 3 this year. So. You know, I'm hoping that, you know, it's just the process now of, you know, obviously trying to find a guy to fill in, you know, while we, you know, especially in our league, being that it's 20 teams, not the easiest thing to do.
Tight ends or a quarterback.
Yeah. So, you know, we'll have to, see if something, you know, if there's somebody out there or, you know, I was looking for his backup but he's gone. So, you know, because I figured that makes sense if I grab his backup, you know. At least, you know, at least I would get, you know, hopefully he would make the majority of the starts while Bobrovsky was hurt. So we'll have to see if, you know, maybe I'll have to double check and see if maybe he's out there somewhere. But yeah, just kind of, and you know, luckily, you know, I got the start last night and then my third goalie is starting tonight. The third goalie I picked up. So I'll have my two starts for the week. So that'll still work out for me. But, you know, my team actually did okay last night. I put up some decent stats for only having, you know, a limited number of guys available. Did you knock anything up to get the season started?
I only had a couple of guys playing last night, so I honestly didn't even look.
Well, I happen to be on the league, so I'm going to look and see how you started out. Let's see. Where is Dan's team? Now I got to remember which name you're using. You're not the LA Kings. Here you go. You're up 7-2. Of course, it's just one day, so you're up 7-2. Let's see where you put up some numbers last night here as we click over. You picked up a goal and three assists. You were -2, though. So,
yeah.
You won a shit ton of face-offs. So,
yeah, that's what I'm going to do.
Your goal is good, though. You may want to go in and swap Tyler Johnson out of your lineup since he's NA and pick somebody else up, but that's up to you.
Yeah, in a few minutes. Tyler.
Oh.
What happened?
I don't know. It just says NA. Let me see if it tells me anything. He is going to start the season on the taxi squad.
Wow.
So you can find yourself. Wow, and all three of your goalies are starting tonight. Holy crap. Oh.
Yeah, that's my luck.
What's wrong with me? Yeah. So, you know, but hey, you know, at least you'll get both your starts out of the way right away.
Well, you know, that's what I was going to ask you. Do you think that's going to be easier to hit this year, seeing as the games will be a little bit closer together?
Yeah, well, you know, being that it was just one last year, there were a lot of complaints, so I went with two. You know, and in a big league, it's tough to go any higher.
Yeah.
I have a tough time finding guys. So I think it'll be okay this year.
SamRadio.com.